And I appreciate the Lord, appreciate His goodness, appreciate all the good singing this morning, Isaiah chapter 55. And if you're visiting with us today, again, I want to encourage you to fill out the visitor's card and drop it off at the welcome desk right when you go out. There'll be a nice, kind lady there, you know. That's why we put a lady there. They're usually kinder and nicer than... And so, and they're more welcoming than us men, amen? And there'll be a lady there that will take that card, and we have a nice gift we'd like to give you to just say we appreciate you taking time to be in the service with us this morning. Isaiah 55, if you'll stand with us this morning, I want to read just a few verses out of this chapter and then give you what the Lord's laid upon our heart. Hadn't it been good to be in the presence of God this morning, amen? Notice with me in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and a nation and the nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be to that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall thou come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning for your presence. Thank you for the good singing. I ask you now, Lord, to bless the preaching of thy word these next few moments. Speak to our hearts, and may you be glorified. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to draw your attention to these 13 verses this morning, because amongst these 13 verses, they teach us three very important things. In the first 9 verses here, we find a universal invitation that is given. And this universal invitation is in regards to the grace of God. Amen. It is the grace of God that would reach the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And it's also the same grace of God that would give an invitation to the Gentile world and would reach you and I. And so there is a universal invitation in these first 9 verses. And then there's a natural illustration that's given in verse number 10 and verse number 11. God is going to like the weather unto His word. And just as the weather and the rain comes down and it feeds the earth and it creates food that feeds our body, so it is with the word of God as it comes down. And it is food not for our bodies, but it is food for our soul. Amen? And so there's a natural illustration, a universal invitation. And then he closes this chapter with a personal application. He takes everything that he says and he reminds the nation of Israel, and he also reminds us Gentiles, for it's with all believers there is coming a day, thank God, when there will be no more trouble and there'll be no more trials, and there'll be joy and there'll be peace on this earth throughout that millennial time, and we that are saved will enjoy the the goodness of God. Amen. When we come to this text this morning, we think about this universal invitation. It's in regards to the grace of God. We think about this natural illustration. It's in regards to the Word of God. And this personal application is in regards to the people of God. Amen. I'm telling you, it's by the grace of God that we have the Word of God and that we have become the people of God. Amen. I want to really focus a few minutes this morning on this universal invitation, because this great invitation, and that's what I'm preaching on this morning, I'm preaching on the great invitation. Amen. You see, this great invitation is in the Scriptures. Amen. I'm glad that what I'm telling you this morning, it is not what I say, it is not what I think, it is even though I believe it, it's not about what I believe, but it is the Word of God this morning. As so shall my word be, he said in verse 11, that it would not return void, but that it would accomplish that which I please. So it is the Scriptures, this great invitation. And it is the sovereign, it is God himself that is giving the invitation to every sinner that they might come and be saved by the grace of God. You see, if you're here this morning, you're not saved. I want you to know this morning that God wants you to be saved. Now, I want you to be saved, and this church wants you to be saved. And if you have believers in your family that are right with God, they want you to be saved. But amongst everybody else, you need to understand that God wants you to be saved. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but He's long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. I tell you, there's a lot of reason to be saved, but one reason I'd get saved is because God loves you enough that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, one reason you ought to get saved is because the God that put the breath in your body, and the God that woke you up this morning, and the God that allowed you to be in your right mind, He loves you, He gave His Son to die for you, and He wants you to be saved this morning. You see, the devil wants you to think you can't be saved, or that you need to put it off. And the reason is because he knows how much God loves you and he wants you to be saved. I want you to think about this universal invitation. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter which side of the tracks. It doesn't matter if you think you're good or you think you're bad. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter who you are. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, who will, 2 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want some to be saved. He doesn't want most to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. It is not the will of God for anybody to die lost in their sins and go to hell. It is the will of God for every sinner to come to Christ, to know Him in the free pardon of sin, and to know that heaven is your eternal home. Amen. Now, we sung that song a few moments ago, I Know My Name Is There. Now, that's a foolish song to this world, because they don't know God, and they don't know that their name is there. But it is not a foolish song to us. It is a joyful song to we that are saved, because we're not singing it just because of the melody or just because of the words. We're singing it this morning because we have a knowledge that we know that we know that we know. Amen. 1 John 5 and verse number 13. He said, verse 11, he said, this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Salvation is very simple. The next verse lays it out. He that hath a Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Then John said in verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may know that you believed on the name of the Son of God. You see, God doesn't just want us to be saved. He wants us to know that we're saved. Amen. I'm telling you, with salvation comes eternal security. Amen. It comes everlasting life. John 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and a stranger they will not follow. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. And he's, thank God. He said, I give unto them eternal life. And thank God, I'm glad this morning that life is in Him. Amen. He that hath a Son hath life, he said. We know that we're saved. We know that we pass from death unto life. We know that we're going to heaven when this life is over with. I'm not hoping I'm going to get there. I'm not thinking I might be there. Hey, I'm not hoping and praying that He'll let me in. Oh no, there's a deep settled peace that when I lay
my head down at night, if I never wake up again this side of eternity, if you're saved, I'll meet you in the morning up by the bright riverside. Hallelujah, I know where I'm going to spend the next trillion and trillion and trillion of years. I don't know about tomorrow, but thank God I know about eternity. Amen. I don't know about today, but I know my future is better on the other side. Hallelujah. Yeah, do you know that you're saved this morning? When we come to this universal invitation this morning, I want you to look at the participants. You say, well, who is the participants in this universal invitation? Look at the first phrase of verse 1. He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth. You say, well, I want to participate in salvation. I want to be born again. I don't want to have to worry about going to hell. I want to know that heaven's my home. Well, I'm going to tell you, friend, you got to get thirsty. Amen? You see that woman at the well in John chapter 4, when Jesus spoke to her, he talked to her about a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That woman got thirsty. Amen? She said to Jesus, she said, sir, give me this water that I may drink. You see, if you ever get under old time conviction, you'll get thirsty. You'll realize you need to be saved. You'll realize you cannot save yourself. And you'll realize the only one that can save you is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, what good works cannot save you. The Bible said it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by His mercy that He saved us. I'm telling you this morning, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. Works cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Church membership cannot save you. Giving money to the church cannot save you. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, only trusting in Him as your Savior will get you into heaven. Amen. Are you thirsty this morning? You say, well, I'm lost. I'm not saved. Well, that's a tragedy. But are you thirsty? You see, a lost man, when he gets thirsty, he can get some help. You could take this, yesterday I think was the hottest day on planet Earth. And I don't know why I chose to work outside all day on the hottest day on planet Earth. But I had some things I had to get done. And as I was outside, I kept a bottle of water with me. And I'm telling you, you could drink a bottle of water, and in a few minutes, you know what? You're thirsty again, what? Now I tell you, I like a good root beer, and I usually keep some root beer at the house, you know. But you know what? When you're outside working, I didn't want one of those root beers. Amen. You say, what did you want? I wanted water. Amen. But you know why? Because a root beer won't quench your thirst. It might be something you enjoy drinking. You know, and I don't drink other beer. Can somebody say amen right there? But well, you drink a Coca-Cola, you drink a root beer, you drink one of those things, but it won't quench your thirst. But water, when you're thirsty, that's what you want. And the water of the Word of God. I'm telling you, sinner, you're lost. And there's a desire, there's an emptiness on the inside that only the Word of God can feel. You can search this world over. I'm telling you, there's people, they've tried everything. They've tried drugs. They've tried alcohol. They've tried pleasures of this world. They've tried money. They've tried possessions. And it always leaves you wanting more. It always leaves you empty. But thank God I found a treasure 30-something years ago at an old-fashioned altar. I got thirsty. Hallelujah. And I realized that there's something on the inside that only Jesus could fulfill. I'm telling you, if you're thirsty this morning, you're a good candidate for salvation. Hallelujah. And I see the participants. And then I want you to notice here the product. Look what he said. He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Amen. I'm telling you, if you're thirsty this morning, there's some water that'll satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to preach all 13 verses this morning, but you can read them when you go to the house over and over again. I'm telling you, the writer in Isaiah, he emphasizes the soul. The soul. I underlined it several times in this chapter where he emphasizes the soul. Amen. I'm telling you, the soul of man never dies. A man is a body, soul, and a spirit. And the inside of you, God put a soul. It's the greatest treasure that you have this morning. But that soul is thirsty. That soul needs to be satisfied. And the world cannot satisfy your soul. And the devil cannot satisfy your soul. But hallelujah, I got some good news. Jesus, He can satisfy the longing soul this morning. There's water, thank God. There's a well from heaven that'll satisfy you. And I'm thankful for the Word of God. You know, that's good evidence that you're saved. Is you love the Bible. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You know, that baby desires that milk, doesn't it? And you don't have to teach that baby to desire that milk. It's a natural instinct. I tell you, once you feed that baby, it's always hungry, but when you feed it that milk, it'll satisfy it, won't it? It may go to crying. It'll let you know when it's hungry, amen? Because why? It's longing for that milk. And I tell you, that's the way it is with a child of God. When you get saved, you long for the Word of God. You love the Bible. You love preaching. You love the teaching. You love the Scriptures. You love to read your Bible. I'm telling you, there's something on the inside that makes you hunger for the Word of God. And I'm glad this morning the Word of God will satisfy you. There's the participants and there's the product. The product is the Bible. You see, our Bible is the seedbed of our salvation. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith, it comes not by seeing. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I remember years ago when Mel Gibson come out with that movie, and I haven't ever even seen the movie, but he come out with that movie, The Passion of the Christ. The church world went crazy for that. And I can remember a man told me one time, he said, have you seen it? I said, no, I haven't seen it. He said, I watched that movie and it changed my whole perspective of Calvary. It gave me a new vision of the cross. And that bothered me deep down. And I said, well, I wasn't being critical to him, but I said, well, I don't need to watch something Hollywood makes to give me a new vision. Because faith does not come by seeing. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many movies they make on the cross, that doesn't change my view of Calvary this morning, because the view of Calvary is personal, it's sovereign, it's spiritual this morning. Now, it might, some of y'all died on me when I said that, but what I'm telling you is this morning, I'm not putting anything over this book right here, amen? I'm telling you the Word of God's got life in it, amen? And the Word of God has no error in it. It is the unadulterated, it is the incorruptible seed, amen? I'm not putting anything over this book. Faith is not seeing. Faith is believing what you heard. And I'm glad a long time ago, when I was a sinner lost without God, I'm glad the preacher, he pointed me to Calvary. He pointed me through the Word of God. And the Word of God shined light down in my soul. I'll tell you, thank God, faith, my friend, was activated that day. And I'll tell you, I'm going to heaven not on what I've seen. I'm going to heaven on what I believe this morning. And I believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. Can't change me on that this morning. Thank God faith comes by hearing. The product is the Word. Nothing is greater. The Bible said that God, in the book of Psalms, He said He's magnified His Word above His own name. Amen. Don't you thank God you got a copy of this book? Man, we could just take time out and shout over the Bible this morning. The Word of God will rescue your soul from hell. The Word of God will put you on the right path. The Word of God will salvage your home. It'll keep your marriage together. The Word of God will help you keep your sanity. Amen? The Word of God will guide you through this walk of life. The Word of God will be a comfort to you. It'll be a shield to you. Thank God the Word of God will be strength for your soul. There's nothing like opening the Bible, amen, and reading it in the morning time and letting it just feed your soul. I'm talking about the Bible. I'm just about to get blessed over this book this morning. I thank God. I mean, you can burn my house to the ground. You can take everything we got. I tell you, there's a treasure in this earthen vessel. The gospel of salvation. The Word of God is down in the recesses of our soul. And that's what tells me that I'm saved. Hallelujah. I don't go back. And I mean, I'm not saying I don't go back, but I don't base my salvation on my experience. I don't base my salvation on what I said the day I got saved. I base my salvation on who I put my faith and my trust in. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 16, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen. And then he said in another passage in the book of Timothy, he said, for I know whom I have believed in. That first one's about salvation. That second one's about security. He said, for I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm telling you, the product of the Word of God is that it'll stay with you all the days of your life. Hallelujah. And then I see the price. What does it cost to be saved? Look at verse number 1. I probably won't finish just verse 1. He said, come ye. He that hath no money, come ye. Buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wine and milk were two very important things in those days. One was for nurturing, the other one was for celebration. And God said you can have them both for free. You can have what will nurture you and you can have what will bring you eternal joy at absolutely no cost. The price of salvation is this, it's already been paid for. Thank God Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe this morning. I won't finish this sermon, but I'll tell you, I'm enjoying what I'm preaching right now. I'm telling you, I'm glad this morning the price of salvation, it won't cost you nothing to be saved. It costs God everything. And I'll tell you, it is an invitation. You can come. That's what the verse says. All you got to do is read it. You ain't got no money. You don't have anything to offer God. You don't have anything to give God. But God said, come on anyway. I'm unpaid for it. At all. If you're thirsty, you just come. And I'm not just going to give you the leftovers. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to give you what will nurture you. I'm going to give you what will bring you joy throughout eternity. I'm saying the price of this universal invitation is that it's free this morning. Now, salvation is not cheap. It cost heaven everything. It cost our Father everything. The best that heaven had to offer, God gave. Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad Jesus died for you and He died for me. I'm glad He gave His life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. That's what salvation is this morning. Romans 3 and verse 10 said, there's none righteous, no, not one. Verse 23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 10 and verse 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Hey, sinner, that's our prayer. That's our desire this morning as a church is that you might be saved. You say, Brother Grafley, if I walk down that aisle and get saved, what's everybody going to think? Well, everybody that's saved is going to be happy for you. Amen? And everybody that's lost is going to be thinking they ought to be doing what you're doing. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, if you know you're lost, you ought to get in the family of God this morning. Don't take what I said for it. You take what the Bible says. Believe the Word of God. Trust the Bible. Trust Jesus to be your Savior this morning. There's the price. And then there's the promise. You can look at verses 3 through 5. He said, incline your ear and come unto me and hear and look at this, and your soul shall live. Now, God makes an everlasting covenant with Israel, but He also made an everlasting covenant with us. You see, there's three rests in the Bible. There's creation rest. God rested on the seventh day. There's a covenant rest. We're reading about it right here that God made with the nation of Israel, and He'll fulfill it, verse number 13 of this chapter, in that millennial day. God's going to fulfill that covenant rest with them. But thank God there's a Calvary rest this morning. Amen? Hebrews spoke about that. That thank God we can find rest for the people of God. I'm telling you this morning, God didn't leave us out. Ephesians chapter 2 said that through the blood of Jesus, He broke down the middle wall of partition that was between the Jew and the Gentile. You say, I don't understand all that. Well, you don't have to. All you have to know is this. God knocked a big old hole in the old, at the end of the Old Testament, and He opened it up in the book of John, amen, and He gave the gospel, amen, to the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, amen, and He lit the lamp of the grace of God to the Gentile nations. In other words, God just slid the plate our way and said, you can have all the promises, you can have all the pardon, you can have everything that I gave them. You can have it through Christ. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, that ought to make us all want to shout. Hallelujah. I got more than just fire insurance. I got more than just not going to hell. Thank God I got heaven when this life is over with. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I've been singing that old song the last 2 days. I wouldn't trade heaven for this world. Brother, I'm telling you, God blessed me yesterday. I was working in a garage. I'm telling you, that song was playing. I listened to it 20 times over. He just filled me up. I wouldn't miss heaven for this old world today. You say, why? The songwriter says, I wouldn't miss seeing Jesus. You know, if heaven wasn't nothing but a dirt road, if Jesus Christ was standing at the end of it, I still want to go. I'm telling you this morning, heaven is more to me and you that are saved than walls of jasper and gates of pearl. I'm sure that's going to be a sight to see, but I'm not going there to see that. I'm sure it's going to be something to see a street of transparent gold, but I'm not going there to see that. I'm not going there to fish in the river of life. Somebody say amen. I'm not going camping when I go to heaven. I'm not going fishing when I'm going to heaven. I'm not telling you it won't be none of that. I don't know what's over there. Amen. I'm not going there, amen, to see rubies and diamonds and pearls. I'm going there to see somebody. Amen. I'm going there to see somebody that bled and suffered and died for my sins. Somebody we preached about. Somebody we sung about. Somebody that we've worshipped. Somebody that's passed by. I'm telling you, if heaven wasn't none of that, sign me up. Chalk me up. I'm still just as excited about seeing Jesus, hallelujah. And then seeing loved ones that have gone on before. I'd never, the songwriter said, trade forever for a few days down here. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. That makes me still want to shout. I'm telling you, there's something down in your soul if you're saved. Brother, I'm not going on feelings, but Brother Laddie, I feel so good in my soul this morning. Because I know God's real. I know salvation's real. And I know that I ought to not be on my way to heaven. I ought to be a drunk or by all means this morning, if I even lived to see the age that I am right now, if I hadn't got saved. He was giving that testimony and I thought about, I've never drank alcohol. I've never smoked a joint. I remember telling my daddy one time I wanted to smoke a cigarette. I said, I never smoked a cigarette, and I thought about that the other day. I told my dad I want to smoke a cigarette. He said, here, smoke one right now. And I took one big draw on that thing like I'd been smoking for 30 years, Brother Dave. Swallowed every bit of it. You know, when smoke don't come out your nose or your mouth, you're in trouble. And I coughed and coughed, and I said, I never want another one of those. So I say I never smoked a cigarette. I reckon I did smoke one time, didn't I? It smoked me more like it. But I'll tell you something. Had it not been for salvation, had it not been for somebody going out on a Saturday morning like we do a lot of Saturdays and knocking doors. Sometimes people say, well, what's all that? Why you got to do all that? It's necessary. You don't grow if you don't go. Isn't that right? Two ladies come in today. Isn't that a blessing to have them here? And when I seen them coming in, I spoke to them for just a minute. I think my wife may have spoke to them coming in. And I thought about this. And these two ladies don't even know this. They're the blessing they are to this church is coming this morning because we go knock on doors. Sometimes, you know, those people you knock on their doors. Now, Friday, she came, didn't she? How many doors we knocked on? 477 doors. Wasn't it worth getting that one for 477 doors? And then this morning we got two. Just them coming in was such an encouragement, wasn't it, to this whole church? But I'm telling you, I'm glad somebody knocked on my door one day. Lost. Didn't know I was lost. Didn't know that I needed to be saved. And this morning, because of salvation, thank God I'm not in hell. Thank God I'm not sitting in jail this morning. I probably would be either in hell or in jail this morning or be in a drunken stupor or getting over one this morning. That's all our family knew. But all because of Calvary, all because of the gospel, all because of a witness, all because of Jesus this morning, most of all because of Jesus Christ. He died for us. Thank God because of Calvary. Hallelujah. I don't have to go to hell. Amen. It's the greatest invitation. There's a lot more to be preached in these verses. As they get us a song ready, I will say, in verse 6, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Oh, hear me this morning. Listen to me. Don't miss this if you're lost. If you're not saved, you listen to verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. In those two great verses. Now, I didn't preach them verses this morning. Could come back and very easily preach them verses. But God lays a pattern out. Seek ye the Lord. Hey, if you're lost, you need to come seek God.
That's what happens when you get out of your seat and you walk down this aisle to this altar. You're seeking God. You're not coming for me and you're not coming to me. You're coming. You're seeking the Lord. And then when you get down here and you get on your knees, it's just like the Bible says, you call upon Him while He is near. See, when the Holy Spirit, like this morning, the message has been preached. Now the invitation, the great invitation, not talking about me, talking about the Lord. The great invitation is being given right now because you've heard the gospel. That still small voice. He's knocking. He wants you to come and be saved. And the Bible says, seek ye the Lord. Get out of that seat. Come seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, why? While He may be found. You know, you could hang on to that pew and get through this invitation. Go get in your car and start down the road and forget all about this. You can do that. A lot of people do it. You say, well, how can you be so disturbed about your soul in an invitation? And then start down the road and it not bother you no more, preacher. Is it just the music? Is it just theatrics? No, it's not any of that. I'm going to tell you what it is. The Holy Ghost. He's speaking to you right now. And if you'll seek Him and if you'll call upon Him, He already said it in that verse. All you got to do is read it. You'll find mercy and He will abundantly pardon. That means He'll save you. But if you go out there and get in your car and you start down the road, now He might talk to you. But you might shake it off. And go down that road and forget all about what you heard this morning. You say, what is that? He's not found anymore. That's why sinners can do that. He's not found anymore. You see that verse? You can read it, verse 6. Call upon Him. What does that last part of that verse say? While He is near. See, if you're saved this morning, you know this. You don't have to raise your hand. But He's near this morning, isn't He? You know why He's near? Because the gospel has been preached. And because sinners have heard the gospel, and that's the heartbeat of God, He wants to save you. If you'll seek Him and call, He'll save you. You'll find mercy. I wonder this morning as we stand, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Christians are praying.